Hi, everyone, and welcome to a roofing contractor news update. I'm Chris Gray, managing editor of RC. Roofers in Florida breathed a collective sigh of relief when a federal judge placed an injunction on a portion of Florida's new insurance reform law that prohibited contractors from soliciting business. The injunction took place after Gale Force Roofing and Restoration, a company under the Lifetime Quality umbrella, filed a lawsuit saying this portion of the law was unconstitutional. Following the judge's decision, we spoke with Alex Gerhardt and Zach Willard, principals with Gale Force Roofing, about their victory in court and why contractors around the country should pay attention to this law. Great. Well, gentlemen, again, thank you for being here and talking with us today about this. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, Chris.
No problem. And now, just to kind of give everyone a little bit of background, could you tell us or perhaps walk us through a little bit about the law and what your company's objections were to it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we essentially got involved with SB 76 just because they were trying to limit contractors' abilities to provide truthful information to customers about alternative funding options. So the bill was proposed first in January, about January 25th. It went through multiple restructuring before it went fully into legislature and went into the House and the Senate. But we can kind of break down specifically what the bill entailed originally and then what the bill kind of transformed into as it went along the way.
Yeah, so the bill started out as a, what they were trying to do was they were trying to push all roofs over 10 years old in Florida to be turned into ACV roofs. And basically what that means to non-insurance people is the homeowners were basically getting no depreciation, and then obviously they have to pay their portion of the insurance claim, which would be their deductible. So homeowners being left with about 50% of what they would have got paid out had they had full replacement cost value on those roofs. And it started, it actually was flying through the Senate. It started to get gummed up a little bit in the House with House Bill 305. They basically married the two bills together at the last day of legislation. They decided, hey, we're not going to get this through by tomorrow. We need to toss this thing out. So they made some kind of deal. And then they put in language that limited contractors and prohibited our ability of free speech to our customers. And that's the biggest issue that we had. You know, this thing came down to 45 minutes before the end of session, and had the session ended, then the bill would have got kicked to next year, where it would have had to go through committees again to get back to the floor and all these things. So they voted on it, and it passed with 45 minutes left in the legislative session. And then it went to the governor's desk. It sat on the governor's desk for almost a month before he finally signed off on it. And then it was passed into law on June 11th.
So, yeah. And that's when Gale Force filed the lawsuit. Was the same day that it was passed, and Governor DeSantis signed it into law. Essentially, the state's position was that there was over $40 billion of insurance fraud a year in the Florida market. They were trying to say that 10% of those claims involved insurance, or 10% of all claims involved insurance fraud. And by limiting contractors' ability for communication, that was going to cut down on that. And they just weren't able to kind of prove that position to the judge.
Sure.
I guess in general, what was your first reaction upon hearing that the judge decided in favor?
Oh, we were very excited. Our lawyer actually called us, said, hey, I have great news. Let's talk tomorrow. And within a couple of hours, we started to receive several correspondences from roofers all over the country. Hey, you know, you guys knocked this one out of the park. Thank you so much for keeping our way of life going. You know, this didn't just strike a chord with the roofers in Florida. There's similar legislation trying to be passed in every single state. They're trying to limit the ability of contractors to assist these homeowners and give them truthful knowledge that they even have the ability to file an insurance claim to get damage to their homes remedied after a storm. You know, there's little old, 80-year-old ladies that, have no idea that the insurance policy they've been paying for 30 years also covers storm damage to their roofs. And, you know, a lot of what we do is really educate. We're almost teachers of these things because there's not a whole lot of people out there advocating for the homeowner. The insurance companies are multi-billion-dollar insurance companies. They have engineers, they have lawyers, they have adjusters, and all these professionals. And they put it on little Bob and Judy Smith over here to know the ins and outs of their entire insurance policy. And not that we go through insurance policy with homeowners or anything like that or of the sort. But we do give them truthful information that, hey, if you have this damage, you know, you can place a claim with your insurance company, and they should come out and replace it based on these factors if it qualifies. And it all depends on the state. And there's a lot of different things that go on from state to state with insurance regulation and all that. So
we see it all too often. You know, homeowners really, they get, you know, I wouldn't say taken advantage of, but they just don't know any better. And when we first moved down to Florida, we met with a homeowner who had just had hurricane damage, and they had like 20 tarps on their roof. And we got up to the ridge of their house, and there was a hole with a plastic bag stuck in it. And we asked that homeowner, like, you know, what's going on with that plastic bag? And they were like, well, that's what the adjuster told me to do to stop the leaking on my roof. So for us not to be able to provide that truthful information and, you know, give them the advice that, you know, that we know, or the background that we have with these claims, it can really affect homeowners. So we were happy for the judge to grant that preliminary injunction. That prevents the Secretary of Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, or the DBPR, from being able to enforce sections 489.147 of the Florida statute, which is section 2, section 3, and section 4. Section 2 covers the prohibitive advertisement and solicitation. Section 3 covers the violation or the fines for violation. And section 4 covers who violates and how.
All right. Excellent. Yeah. Thank you for that great summary. And you do bring up a interesting point about why contractors should be paying attention to this and how it could affect not only the contractors in Florida, but all around the country as well. What sort of things do you advise contractors keep an eye on when it comes to these types of laws, if they're seeing them happen in their states?
Well, they should be. Well, the first thing they should be doing about the laws is contacting House representatives in jurisdictions that they pay taxes. You know, that's we vote these people into office, and you know, anything that infringes upon somebody's civil liberties, their civil rights, their First Amendment speech, those things should be fought. You know, there was a little bit of a war not too long ago that was fought over the rights of the states. And different things that, you know, an entire constitution was written over.
Yeah.
So, you know, the terrible thing is contractors were singled out in this, and the prohibitive language that was used against us just really fell outside the guidelines of the principles of the bill that they were trying to pass. They're trying to cut down on insurance fraud. And then, you know, the report they even used that they were handling out to all the senators and the politicians was from the Office of Insurance Regulation in Florida. And they had this report, hey, $40 billion of insurance fraud. But, you know, like Zach had touched on, I mean, it covered auto insurance fraud and health insurance fraud and all these different things. And basically, they just don't want people to file claims. And that's what it is. They don't want people to file claims. They don't want people to know, hey, they have the damage and can file claims. And anybody else on the street could have walked up, their barber, their neighbor, their mechanic, and said, hey, you have storm damage, you should file a claim. But just because of our profession, they were trying to stop us from being able to do that. And that's where our First Amendment rights were being infringed upon. And, you know, we weren't going to let that happen.
Yeah, and the judge actually gave an example in the courtroom, said, you know, you don't lay your entire backyard with claymores if you're trying to kill, you know, one animal or a rabbit or something like that. So when limiting truthful information, you know, from a contractor, the state has a high burden to show that it's reasonable and prohibited, you know, some harm to the state. And they were unable to do that. There was no compelling evidence to do so. So that was our big motivator for, you know, standing up against this and doing the right thing.
Sure.
And then we talked about a little bit earlier how the intent of the law is to, in fact, bring down that high insurance premium for people in the state. With that in mind, are there any aspects of the law that you do support?
The law that was passed? No, not really. What they should be doing is they should be working with the insurance companies and the contractors in the state to stop the lawsuits from taking place. Even the insurance companies say that if they could stop the issue of attorneys filing claims against them and having to sue them, they would drop down their payouts on claims by almost 67%. You know, so they're really only paying out one third at that point. And it's true. And the problem is, you know, Florida is a very restricted state for who they allow to do business. You know, we have to hold a roofing business license. Any subcontractors that work with us have to have their own license in order for us to pull a permit and use them to do work. Everybody has to have workman's comp. Everybody has to have their own insurance, pay business taxes. I mean, you name it. There's a lot. You have to be a skilled professional. Well, when these insurance claims get paid out, they're, you know, most insurance companies try to pay out the minimum on the claim. Yeah. I try to explain that to people sometimes. An insurance adjuster, their name, you know, their title says it all. They're there to adjust your insurance claim, and it's not up, it's down. And it's to save the insurance company money. And that makes sense too. Most of the insurance companies are owned by shareholders. You know, they own stock in the insurance company, or, you know, they need to pay out profits to these people, or else they lose those stockholders. You know, so they do what they can to limit their losses. If they would just start paying more fair rates to the contractors on the front end, not force anybody, homeowner, contractor, or the like, to have to get an attorney and file these lawsuits, then the payouts would be 33% of what they are, and nobody would be in this mess to begin with. That, and, you know, as soon as the SB 76 preliminary injunction came out, there were insurance companies that immediately started raising rates. Well, they were planning on doing that anyway. They're going to raise rates every year, no matter what. Has anybody ever seen insurance rates go down? No, of course not. And, you know, Florida didn't get hit by a major hurricane from 2006 to almost 2015.
Yeah.
And insurance rates didn't go down. They didn't start returning money to policyholders. You know, it only went up. And it's going to continue to do so. And they have to figure out a better way, and targeting one single profession, even though and contractors get a bad rap. They do, because there are bad contractors. But there's also bad lawyers, there's bad CPAs, there's bad mechanics, there's bad people in every profession. And trying to target roofing contractors and single them out and saying, hey, if we stop the roofing contractors, you know, it'll stop the fraud or any of this noise. It's just not true. They were just trying to get claims to not be filed by homeowners. And who's inspecting the homes and inspecting the roofs? It's roofing contractors. So,
yeah, I think it needs to be said too that Gale Force and any of the companies that fall under the lifetime umbrella is strongly against any manipulation of the insurance market or insurance fraud. You know, that's one of the biggest things that we're proponents of, is, you know, contractors doing it the right way. Because that's what this bill was ultimately proposed as, is to stop, you know, insurance fraud, but they just went about doing it the wrong way.
Sure.
So, you know, that's a big position that we have. We also kind of wanted to address contractors as a whole and say, you know, now's the time to band together. We're the ones to stand up for what we believe in, and we feel that contractors everywhere should unite and do that. We're stronger together. We don't want to see, you know, future bills get passed in other states like this, and we need to be aware of when they do, when they pop up in litigation, and make sure that they don't make it any further than that.
Now, along those lines, do you expect any other challenges for this particular law to take place?
Of course. I think they're going to reintroduce more laws next year and more laws the year after that, and try to curb the rising insurance premiums that Florida homeowners are hurting over. And it is. I mean, we obviously own a business in Florida. Our insurance premiums are extremely high there. You know, our auto premiums are through the roof compared to what we pay in other states. I mean, triple, quadruple each month in insurance premiums. And it all is based on how the laws are set up down there and the things that are being allowed to take place in the insurance market in general.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in auto insurance, if you get into a car accident, I believe it's called a no-fault state or something like that. So if somebody runs into you, you place a claim on your own insurance, and then the insurance companies battle each other to figure out who was at fault. Obviously, lawyers are getting involved. So what sense does this make?
Yeah.
It makes no sense at all.
Yeah, so they have the ability to take this to the appellate court and run through that process, or the appeals process. They can take it all the way through litigation, which, you know, I'm sure they'll, you know, try. But next year, we'll have to wait till the next legislative process to see any refinement or changes to the bill itself. But I'm sure this isn't the last time we'll see a form of SB 76.
Sure.
Now, this is a preliminary injunction, so it's sort of a temporary halt on it. Do you expect that it will become more of a permanent injunction? Or do you think that they'll, like you were saying, they'll get back and maybe tweak it so that doesn't necessarily happen?
Yeah, I think the form that it's in right now with, you know, limiting contractors' abilities to communicate to homeowners will never make it any further. Like we said, there'll be some different forms of that law. This isn't the last time we'll see them try to pass something like this. But as of it right now, I think that, you know, SB 76 is, or the portions of the contract, the portions of the law are not going to go any further.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to change a federal judge's mind when he's made a decision. And the judge, hey, more power to him. He came back from the Friday hearing by Sunday with a 44-page opinion. And you don't draft a 44-page opinion without putting some serious thought behind it. So, you know, kudos to him for having the time to write that sucker up and get it out so quickly. There's also been, I believe there's two other laws passed, might have been three, I think it was two other laws passed in that same legislative session. And both of those have also been stricken down or had injunctions filed against them for violations of First Amendment rights. So,
absolutely.
All right. And then with all that in mind, are there any details on, you know, a next court hearings or filings or anything like that that we should be aware of?
No, nothing yet. As soon as we hear, we're going to get the word out because we want as much backing as possible in the Florida marketplace to let the politicians know that we don't want these kind of laws infringing on hardworking blue collar Americans and their businesses. You know, it was very scary to see the landscape that was going to be left after this law passed. You know, roofers were facing, changing business models that they've used for, you know, decades in some instances, or, you know, they changed this law. I don't know how I'm going to generate business. I've gone door to door and talked to people and got referrals and whatever my entire life. And now I can't do that. So do I go get $10,000 fines, or do I not be able to put food on my family's table? You know, there's hundreds of millions of dollars each year that gets pumped back in the Florida economy from roofing contractors and the things they do. And then if you look out on a long enough timeline, they should be terrified about passing laws like this. Florida gets hit by major hurricanes. And the next time a major hurricane comes through and you ran 80, 90% of the roofers out of the state, who's putting all these roofs back on?
Yeah.
Who's helping these homeowners rebuild their homes? I mean, just look at what Hurricane Michael did to the Panhandle. It was total devastation. People couldn't get their roofs put on, their houses rebuilt for a year or more. Imagine being taken out of your home for an entire year. And then, you know, if you talk to Doug Quinn or anybody over at the APA, he tells great story and gives great statistics on just that, a total loss of his own home that he didn't get paid out on for almost 7 years. And the statistical rates of suicide and different things that go exponentially through the roof when you displace somebody out of their home for that long, you know, it's really sad. It really is. And everything that's going on down there, it's sad. It's terrible on the homeowner side. It's terrible on the contractor side, what's going on. And there does need to be change. And we back that 100%. There does need to be change. It just needs to be, you know, a little more thought out than hey, let's target the roofing contractors because they're assisting homeowners. That doesn't make any sense. You know, and even the judge said, well, yeah, it'd probably be easier if we just made, you know, nobody, and I'm not, you know, paraphrasing, but he said, you know, basically it'd be easier if we just didn't allow anybody to file claims, you know, and then you guys would have no claims to worry about, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just nonsensical. And we need some more common sense.
For all the contractors watching, you know, if you want to do something about this, like, you know, Alex said, contact your local representative. Mm-hmm. Let them know that this is something that we don't stand for. If you're in Florida, if you're outside of the state, you know, contact your local representative there and send them the case law from this and let them know if anything ever pops up in our state like this, we won't stand for it and we'll back it up. We have a saying here at the company, get comfortable being uncomfortable. It made us uncomfortable to go against the state and to do some things like this, but we knew that we had to do it. We had to stand up for our rights. We had to stand up for the Constitution and the First Amendment right of free speech.
Sure. Yeah. And I know I got my House representative on the phone in 15 minutes where I pay taxes personally. And as soon as I said, and this was obviously laws in Ohio, but as soon as I said, hey, this part of this new law you guys are introducing or that's being looked at right now by the House, by a House committee, it infringes on my right to free speech. As soon as that came out of my mouth, he was extremely interested and wanted me to send him the cutout of where and how it infringed on my free speech. Because I don't think there's very many politicians out there that want to be caught dead voting against the Constitution that want to be reelected in the future. So,
yeah, I think you're 100% correct on that. But yeah, great advice overall. And yeah, I just wanted to thank you both again for just taking the time to talk with me about this. And yeah, congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
It's yeah, it was a very important law, and we'll definitely be keeping an eye on it. So yeah, any further input or any other things that happen, feel free to let us know what's going on.
Thank you, Chris.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Take it easy.
Thank you to everyone for joining us today. For more videos and podcasts like this, visit roofingcontractor.com and sign up for our free e-magazine and newsletters. Stay safe, everyone.